Brothers and sisters, let's turn in God's authoritative word to our Old Testament reading in the book of Psalms, Psalm 37, verses 8 through 11. Psalm 37, beginning at verse 8. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. For the evildoers shall be cut off, and those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. In just a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. And then turning in the New Testament to our text, which is Matthew chapter 5 and verse 5. The third of the Beatitudes, we'll read beginning at verse 2 of Matthew 5. And Jesus opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." We end our reading of those great Beatitudes. The man snarled, "I don't want to have anything to do with a religion that says that you're blessed if you're meek." Perhaps you've heard other people say the same thing. Perhaps at some time in your life you said it yourself. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the world or the earth. And so we need to understand what this meekness is that Jesus says is blessed. So notice firstly the meaning of the word meek. Now, first of all, it is not a retiring, quiet, natural personality. Someone like Professor Scipione. If so, of course, many Christians would be put at a disadvantage because they are not naturally retiring and quiet. Well, what is it? Well, still speaking negatively, it is not laziness. Now, Jesus, in his parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 26, says that the master answered the servant, "You wicked and slothful servant, you wicked and lazy servant." Nor is it passivity. Now think of Philippians chapter 2, verses 12b. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. There's nothing passive about our blessedness there. Nor is it weakness. Hebrews 11:34, the writer, speaking of those great examples of faith mentioned in that chapter, says that they were made strong out of weakness. They were made strong. They were not to remain weak. And so it's become almost a cliche, hasn't it? Meekness is not weakness. And of course, look at some of the examples of those called meek in the scriptures. Think of Moses. In Numbers 12, verse 3, we read, "Now the man Moses was very meek, more than all people who were on the face of the earth. Or Jesus, our Lord, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1a. I, Paul, myself entreat you by the meekness and gentleness of Jesus. Were either of these men meek in the sense of weak? Moses led hundreds of thousands of people out of slavery in Egypt into, or in the direction at least, of the promised land. Jesus Christ spoke authoritatively and the winds calmed and people's illnesses were healed and demons were exorcised. At the beginning and at the end of his ministry, he cleared out the temple in the city of Jerusalem. He was not a weak person. So what does it mean that we are blessed if we are meek? If we look at the various meanings of the Greek word, there's one particular usage that is very revealing. Greek word translated meek here was the word that was used for oxen that were yoked together. Oxen yoked together. Now, you boys and girls may not know much about oxen, but they are big and they are heavy and they can be ornery and they can be destructive. But yoke them together and they can be very productive on the farm. Plowing land, carting produce to the market, and so on. And there's a helpful insight in that particular kind of meaning to this word, isn't there? Because the word is suggesting that meekness means, in fact, being harnessed, being controlled by someone else. And so the meek person is someone whom Christ is controlling. It is someone who is being controlled by Christ, for Christ. And notice that the idea of yoking involves two oxen, not just one. You can use an oxen by itself as long as it's harnessed, but the word really is more almost yoked. And the idea is that we are not individuals as Christians, but we are in fact those who together have put our shoulders to the plow. We are working together. We are harnessed for one purpose. And what is that purpose? It is the service of the one who has harnessed us. The oxen serve the farmer who's put the yoke on them. And so it is with us. Christ has harnessed us together for service. And so a better translation is blessed are the harnessed, or blessed are the yoke. And if we wanted to be paraphrastic about it, we could expand it to say that we are blessed if we are harnessed together for service to Jesus Christ. That is what meekness means. But secondly, notice here the marvel of the world inheritance. The marvel of the world inheritance. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. You need not, to be happy, earn the earth. Indeed, you cannot earn the earth. But you can inherit it. You cannot conquer the earth, but you can inherit it. Jesus uses the future tense here, not the subjunctive. It's a tense that has no suggestion of uncertainty. And so our English translations use that stronger helping verb, shall, rather than the merely future helping verb, will. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, in speaking these words, Jesus no doubt was referring to what we read back in Psalm 37, where the meek shall inherit the land. But that's not exactly what Jesus says here. He's expanding the horizon of his disciples here by saying to them, you will not inherit just the land, say, the land of Israel, which they may have thought was the significance of Psalm 37. But he wanted them to understand that what the psalmist was getting at and what they needed to understand is that they would inherit the earth, not just Palestine, but the globe. Notice that it is not to be conquered by military prowess, but it is to be inherited through meekness, received as an inheritance. Now, there are two kinds of inheritances, aren't there? There's an inheritance that you get before your loved one dies, and there's the one that comes after they have died. And we enjoy a present inheritance in Jesus Christ. For as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3:21, all things are yours. Or as he says in Romans 8:17, we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And what has Christ inherited? In the Great Commission in Matthew, we're told that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make all nations disciples, conquering them, not through military might, but through the Word and the Spirit. And so, we are those who enjoy an inheritance now. As J. Glenn Owen has written, here is a man, that is the man who's blessed, who is a king, who is a master of circumstances, who has the world in his grasp, a meek man in the enjoyment of his spiritual heritage. How is that? Well, remember what Paul says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And so Owen goes on, not the famous John Owen, this is an Irish preacher. In the process of submitting to the divine will and of obeying the Lord's commands, Paul had discovered resources available to make him adequate in every kind of circumstance. The world was his. You have a present inheritance. And as a result, you do not have to be, like so many in the world are, constantly grasping, constantly trying to exercise authority, constantly trying to bully, constantly trying to be what Christ tells you not to be here. Instead, to be harnessed together for the service of Christ. But you also have a future inheritance. 1 Corinthians 6:2, Paul writes, you shall judge the world. He's looking forward to the time when the meek shall join Christ in ruling the new heavens and the new earth. All the honor and glory of the sovereign Lord, we will share at that time. It is not difficult for us to try and grasp what we can get now, but harnessed by Jesus for Christ, can you not wait until the time that he has established to receive your full inheritance? This is what we are looking forward to, our world inheritance. But thirdly and finally, note particularly the means of the work. The means of the work. It is not natural, the means that we use in order to become meek and to inherit the earth. Already we've seen in our studies through the Beatitudes, those of you who were here last year on those occasions, that all that Jesus is describing here are not natural qualities that we have in our particular personalities. They are all God-given spiritual qualities. And it should be increasingly clear as we go through the Beatitudes that these qualities are not what we have in ourselves, that they are beyond us, that it is that they are far more than the, in this case, than the quiet personality of some. They're not natural, then of course they have to be spiritual. They are part of the fruit of the Spirit about which Paul writes in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. What are they? Joy, love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It is this fruit worked by the Spirit in our lives that makes us meek, that harnesses us for the service of Christ. It's part of that cluster of beautiful fruit because of Christ's work in us, not because of our own work. But that does not mean that you are shut up to doing nothing. God forbid that you should ever think that. Work out your salvation, as we've already noticed. Because, why? You are confident that it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to do it. So face the Sermon on the Mount fairly and squarely. Look to the example, especially of Jesus Christ. Humble yourself in confession of your utter imperfection. And then, as Martin Lloyd-Jones writes about these words, we must finish with that self which is the cause of all our troubles, so that he who has bought us at a price may come in and possess us wholly. Let's pray together. Lord our God, we thank you that you have called us to the service of Christ by being harnessed together to that great work. We pray that we would not fight against that reality, but that we would trust you to be accomplishing in us and through us what you intend, that we might enjoy the inheritance that is ours now, as well as that inheritance that awaits us. We thank you for your work in us and pray that you would perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. We ask this through Christ himself. Amen. Now let's turn to Psalm 149. Psalm 149b, we'll sing just the first two stanzas. And you'll notice that the very last words that we're going to sing say, "And with salvation's radiance, the meek he beautifies." Let's stand to sing. Psalm 149b, stanzas 1 and 2.